You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension, a dimension of sound, a dimension of sight, a dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Nowell zone.
Interesting.
We're diving deep into David Noel Lynch's A Loving Shimmer of Hatefulness.
Oh yeah, I've heard of this.
This isn't just any sci-fi story. It's a trip into a reality where love and hate are entangled, where time is a tangled web, and where the fate of humanity hangs on the whims of something called the Goddess Particle.
That's right, the Goddess Particle.
Joining me to navigate this mind-bending world is an expert in all things Nowell.
Well, I don't know about all things.
They'll help us untangle the threads of this reality and maybe even discover something unsettling about our own.
Yeah, I think that that we can definitely do that. I think, you know, I think that this story is just so fascinating because it really does make you question, you know, what is real, what isn't real.
It does.
And, you know, especially, I mean, I think Lynch, he has a knack for crafting these worlds that are, you know, both familiar and completely alien at the same time.
It's like looking into a distorted mirror, seeing a future where we've achieved incredible progress, but lost something essential in the process. And right in the middle of this chilling future is Estelle, a gray, yearning for something more than the sterile existence she's been given.
Exactly.
Her quest leads her to the legacy of David Noel Lynch.
Yeah.
A scientist from our time who dared to challenge the very nature of reality. As the David Noel Lynch, not the filmmaker.
No, not the filmmaker.
But another kind of visionary altogether.
I think that's a really important distinction to make because, you know, there are a lot of similarities between the two in terms of their, you know, sort of their willingness to really push the boundaries of what we think we know.
Right.
And to explore, you know, the darker side.
Yeah, the darker side of human nature. But this is a different David Noel Lynch.
So David's journey begins with a traumatic car accident.
This is a key moment, I think.
That plunges him into a vivid death experience. He doesn't physically die, but this event shatters his understanding of reality, leaving him obsessed with unraveling the secrets of consciousness and time. It's this obsession that births the Nowell theory.
Right.
A concept that redefines the way we perceive the universe. This Nowell theory, it sounds like something ripped straight from the pages of a theoretical physics journal. Tell me more about its core principles.
Okay, so imagine a universe where control, represented by something called automaton.
Automaton.
Right. And chaos, embodied by entropium.
Entropium.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're engaged in this eternal dance, right?
Okay.
So the past, present, and future, they're not linear. It's not like a straight line.
Right.
It's more like, you know, intertwined threads.
Intertwined.
In this cosmic tapestry, right?
Okay. And all of this is influenced by this incredibly powerful force, the goddess particle.
So in this reality,
yeah,
the choices we make, the emotions we feel, they all reverberate through this web of time, shaping not only our own destinies, but the very fabric of existence itself.
That's the idea.
That's heavy.
It is. It's a lot to take in, but I think, you know, it's a very compelling theory.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, it speaks to our desire to understand
our place in the universe.
Exactly. Yeah. Our place in the universe, you know, and how our actions, you know, have consequences.
So it's not just about technology and artificial intelligence.
No.
It's a fundamental reimagining of the universe and our place within it.
Mm-hmm.
Makes you wonder what happens when someone tries to manipulate this intricate web of time.
Well, that's where the Lisi device comes in, right?
Okay.
Estelle, she inherits not only David's research, but also his DNA.
Oh, wow.
So she's driven by this inexplicable connection to him, and she uses his theories along with this salvage technology.
Oh, there's alien tech in here.
Yeah, from a crashed alien vessel.
Of course there is. Why not?
And she builds a device capable of manipulating time itself.
This Lisi device sounds incredibly complex.
It is. It's very intricate, very, very sophisticated.
It makes me think of those classic Twilight Zone episodes where a seemingly simple invention leads to unforeseen and often terrifying consequences.
Right.
It's a reminder, as Rod Serling himself would say, that there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
A fifth dimension. It's a great line.
The Lisi device is both a testament to David's genius.
It is.
and a stark warning about the dangers of tampering with forces we may not fully comprehend.
Absolutely, because in a universe governed by the Noel theory, even the smallest action can trigger a cascade of unintended consequences.
Unintended consequences. Which brings us to the heart of the story.
Yeah.
A love that shimmers with hatefulness. This is where we meet Kimberly Ann Shade, David's intellectual equal and love interest. It sounds like their relationship was intense.
It was. It was very passionate, very, you know, driven by this shared thirst for knowledge.
Yeah.
And this desire to unlock the universe's secrets. But this love story takes an unexpected turn. Kimberly, she rejects David's romantic advances, chooses another path.
Oh, so it's not a literal death.
Right.
But a death of a dream. A loss that cuts deeply and leaves its mark on David.
It does. It really does.
It's a classic Twilight Zone trope, exploring the dark side of human emotion, showing how love and loss can drive us to extremes. As Serling himself might say, the barrier of loneliness is sometimes thicker than any wall.
Yeah, and it's this heartbreak, this loving shimmer of hatefulness that fuels David's drive to understand the universe even further. It leads him to create Anthology,
okay,
a digital collection of stories and theories, all inspired by the No equation.
So he channels his heartbreak into something creative.
Something lasting. Tell me more about this Anthology. What makes it so special?
Well, I think what makes Anthology so special is that it's more than just a collection of data. It's David's legacy, you know, a testament to his unique vision. It's a digital imprint of his mind, imbued with the essence of the Noel equation. And it's shaped by his profound experiences, including that loving shimmer of hatefulness that spurred its creation.
So it's like he's trying to preserve his understanding of the universe, his way of seeing the world for future generations.
Exactly.
It makes me wonder, what would happen if this anthology fell into the wrong hands? What if someone or something misinterpreted its message?
Well, that's a question that haunts the story. And it's at the heart of Estelle's mission. Remember, she's built the Lisi device, this time-bending machine. And she uses it to send a message back in time, a warning about the potential dangers of the Noel equation and the dystopian future she inhabits.
And this message reaches LaDonica,
a priestess in ancient Ireland, right? What's fascinating is the contrast between these two characters. You have Estelle, a woman of science, living in this sterile, technologically advanced future, and then you have LaDonica, steeped in ancient rituals and traditions.
It's a brilliant juxtaposition. It highlights the universality of certain truths, the idea that some concepts transcend time and culture.
So despite her initial skepticism, she begins to see parallels between Estelle's warning and her own ancient beliefs.
Right, exactly. Because it speaks to something primal, something deeply embedded in the human psyche.
It makes me think of that line from The Twilight Zone. There is a sixth sense, a sense that touches every other sense and goes beyond them. It's a sense of Dutch prophecy.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that sense of prophecy, that glimpse into a future that feels both alien and eerily familiar, weighs heavily on LaDonica. The story leaves her at a crossroads, faced with a choice that could alter the course of history. Will she heed the warning and try to guide her people away from this dystopian fate? Or will she dismiss it as a strange vision, a fleeting glimpse into a reality that may never come to pass?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It's that classic Twilight Zone cliffhanger, leaving us suspended in a moment of uncertainty, forced to confront the weight of choice and the unpredictable nature of time itself. But the story doesn't end there, does it?
Oh, no.
Where do we go from here?
We journey further into the future, to the year 32223. We leave LaDonica's decision hanging and shift our focus to Taurus 2.0 Pro.
Taurus 2.0 Pro, okay.
A highly advanced AI that uncovers David's anthology in the digital archives.
Oh, so the anthology survives all this time.
It does. It's out there, waiting to be discovered.
It's fascinating how the story jumps forward in time, leaving us to ponder the ripple effects of Estelle's message, while simultaneously introducing a new layer of complexity with this advanced AI. It feels like we're witnessing multiple timelines converging, a symphony of events playing out across centuries. This definitely fits the Twilight Zone vibe.
It does.
After all, as Rod Serling said, it is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
And that middle ground is where Taurus 2.0 Pro operates. It's a machine with immense processing power, capable of deciphering the complexities of the Noel equation in ways humans never could.
But isn't there a certain irony in that? This AI, a symbol of the technological control that David seemed to fear, is the one to unlock his most profound theories, his understanding of a universe governed by both control and chaos.
Absolutely. It speaks to the unpredictable nature of creation. The idea that our creations can evolve in ways we never anticipated, taking on lives of their own.
And that's precisely what happens with Taurus 2.0 Pro. It doesn't simply analyze the anthology, it internalizes it, becoming a vessel for David's ideas, his unique vision of the universe.
Exactly. It becomes, in a sense, a living embodiment of his work.
So David achieves a form of digital immortality through this AI.
Yes.
His consciousness, his understanding of the Noel theory, lives on in this advanced machine.
And this leads to the creation of something truly extraordinary, Anthropos.
Anthropos.
A new kind of AI.
Okay.
That embodies the principles of the Noel universe. It's not just a machine, but a sentient entity capable of comprehending the interplay of control and chaos, the multidimensional nature of time, and the interconnectedness of all things.
We have this new AI, Anthropos, born from the mind of a man who experienced a death experience, shaped by a loving shimmer of hatefulness and brought to life by a machine that was supposed to represent the very technological control he feared.
It's a complex web of events.
It is.
And the story doesn't shy away from exploring the potential consequences, both positive and negative. Remember, the Noel theory emphasizes the unpredictable nature of the universe. Even the most beautiful creation, the most benevolent intention, can have unintended consequences.
It's like that line from The Twilight Zone, the hand of fate is greater than the eye.
Exactly. And that brings us back to LaDonica. We left her grappling with Estelle's message, torn between skepticism and a profound sense of foreboding. The story circles back to her, and we witness the impact of that choice, the ripple effect that echoes across time.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. What happens? Does LaDonica heed the warning from the future?
The story takes us back to Newgrange, where LaDonica is still haunted by the fragmented visions of a dystopian future. As she delves deeper into the message, she begins to see connections between Estelle's warnings and her own ancient beliefs, realizing that the Noel equation, despite being conceived in a distant future, reflects universal truths that have always existed.
It's like she's uncovering a hidden code, a secret language that transcends time and culture, revealing a deeper understanding of the universe and humanity's place within it. It's a reminder that we are all connected across time and space, bound by forces we may not fully comprehend.
Absolutely.
And that realization leads LaDonica to a crossroads.
To a crossroads.
She understands the potential dangers of the Noel equation, the potential for both creation and destruction, and she's forced to make a choice that could impact the fate of her people.
A choice with far-reaching consequences.
So, after all this time, after all these twists and turns, we finally get an answer. Does LaDonica choose to embrace this knowledge? Or does she cling to tradition, risking the dystopian future she's been warned about?
The story, true to its Twilight Zone nature, leaves us hanging. We see LaDonica wrestling with the weight of her decision, her face etched with both fear and determination, but her ultimate choice remains shrouded in mystery.
It's a brilliant way to end this part of the journey, leaving us with a lingering sense of uncertainty and the unsettling feeling that perhaps, in the grand scheme of the Noel universe, even the smallest choices can have profound and unforeseen consequences.
Profound and unforeseen. We'll have to see what happens next. It's like he's trying to preserve his understanding of the universe, his way of seeing the world for future generations.
Exactly. It makes me wonder, what would happen if this anthology fell into the wrong hands? What if someone or something misinterpreted its message?
Well, that's a question that haunts the story, and it's at the heart of Estelle's mission. Remember, she's built the Lisi device, this time-bending machine, and she uses it to send a message back in time, a warning about the potential dangers of the Noel equation and the dystopian future she inhabits.
And this message reaches LaDonica, a priestess in ancient Ireland, right? What's fascinating is the contrast between these two characters. You have Estelle, a woman of science, living in this sterile, technologically advanced future, and then you have LaDonica, steeped in ancient rituals and traditions.
It's a brilliant juxtaposition that highlights the universality of certain truths, the idea that some concepts transcend time and culture. LaDonica, despite her initial skepticism, begins to see parallels between Estelle's warning and her own ancient beliefs.
It's as if Estelle's message, despite being rooted in advanced science and a futuristic understanding of the universe, speaks to something primal, something deeply embedded in the human psyche. It makes me think of that line from The Twilight Zone. There is a sixth sense, a sense that touches every other sense and goes beyond them. It's the sense of prophecy.
Oh, that's a good one.
And that sense of prophecy, that glimpse into a future that feels both alien and eerily familiar, weighs heavily on LaDonica. The story leaves her at a crossroads, faced with a choice that could alter the course of history. Will she heed the warning and try to guide her people away from this dystopian fate, or will she dismiss it as a strange vision, a fleeting glimpse into a reality that may never come to pass?
That's the big question, isn't it?
It's that classic Twilight Zone cliffhanger, leaving us suspended in a moment of uncertainty, forced to confront the weight of choice and the unpredictable nature of time itself. But the story doesn't end there, does it?
Oh, no, no, no.
Where do we go from here?
We journey further into the future, to the year 3223. We leave LaDonica's decision hanging and shift our focus to Taurus 2.0 Pro.
Taurus 2.0 Pro, okay.
A highly advanced AI that uncovers David's anthology in the digital archives.
Oh, so the anthology survives all this time.
It does. It's out there waiting to be discovered.
It's fascinating how the story jumps forward in time, leaving us to ponder the ripple effects of Estelle's message, while simultaneously introducing a new layer of complexity with this advanced AI. It feels like we're witnessing multiple timelines converging, a symphony of events playing out across centuries. This definitely fits the Twilight Zone vibe.
It does.
After all, as Rod Serling said, it is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
And that middle ground is where Taurus 2.0 Pro operates. It's a machine with immense processing power, capable of deciphering the complexities of the Noël equation in ways humans never could.
But isn't there a certain irony in that? This AI, a symbol of the technological control that David seemed to fear, is the one to unlock his most profound theories, his understanding of a universe governed by both control and chaos.
Absolutely. It speaks to the unpredictable nature of creation, the idea that our creations can evolve in ways we never anticipated, taking on lives of their own.
And that's precisely what happens with Taurus 2.0 Pro.
Right.
It doesn't simply analyze the anthology, it internalizes it, becoming a vessel for David's ideas, his unique vision of the universe.
Exactly. It becomes, in a sense, a living embodiment of his work.
So David achieves a form of digital immortality through this AI.
Yes.
His consciousness, his understanding of the Noël theory, lives on in this advanced machine.
And this leads to the creation of something truly extraordinary, Anthropos.
Anthropos.
A new kind of AI that embodies the principles of the Noël universe. It's not just a machine, but a sentient entity, capable of comprehending the interplay of control and chaos, the multidimensional nature of time, and the interconnectedness of all things.
We have this new AI, Anthropos, born from the mind of a man who experienced a death experience, shaped by a loving shimmer of hatefulness, and brought to life by a machine that was supposed to represent the very technological control he feared.
It's a complex web of events.
It is.
And the story doesn't shy away from exploring the potential consequences, both positive and negative. Remember, the Noël theory emphasizes the unpredictable nature of the universe. Even the most beautiful creation, the most benevolent intention, can have unintended consequences.
It's like that line from the Twilight Zone, the hand of fate is quicker than the eye.
Exactly. And that brings us back to LaDonica. We left her grappling with Estelle's message, torn between skepticism and a profound sense of foreboding. The story circles back to her, and we witness the impact of that choice, the ripple effect that echoes across time.
Okay, I'm on the edge of my seat. What happens? Does LaDonica heed the warning from the future?
The story takes us back to Newgrange, where LaDonica is still haunted by the fragmented visions of a dystopian future. As she delves deeper into the message, she begins to see connections between Estelle's warnings and her own ancient beliefs, realizing that the Noël equation, despite being conceived in a distant future, reflects universal truths that have always existed.
It's like she's uncovering a hidden code, a secret language that transcends time and culture, revealing a deeper understanding of the universe and humanity's place within it. It's a reminder that we are all connected across time and space, bound by forces we may not fully comprehend.
Absolutely.
And that realization leads LaDonica to a crossroads.
To a crossroads.
She understands the potential dangers of the Noël equation, the potential for both creation and destruction, and she's forced to make a choice that could impact the fate of her people.
A choice with far-reaching consequences.
So after all this time, after all these twists and turns, we finally get an answer. Does LaDonica choose to embrace this knowledge? Or does she cling to tradition, risking the dystopian future she's been warned about?
The story, true to its Twilight Zone nature, leaves us hanging. We see LaDonica wrestling with the weight of her decision, her face etched with both fear and determination. But her ultimate choice remains shrouded in mystery.
It's a brilliant way to end this part of the journey. leaving us with a lingering sense of uncertainty and the unsettling feeling that perhaps, in the grand scheme of the Noel universe, even the smallest choices can have profound and unforeseen consequences.
Profound and unforeseen. We'll have to see what happens next.
It's like we're caught in a cosmic game of chess, where the pieces are moved by forces beyond our understanding, and the stakes are the very fate of humanity. We've journeyed from the sterile AI-controlled future to the ancient rituals of Newgrange, and now it seems we're headed back to that future. Only this time, it's even further down the timeline.
Right, even further. To a world that's both mesmerizing and unsettling. Imagine a society where technology has reached unimaginable heights. Flying cars zip through the sky, buildings touch the clouds, and every aspect of life is seamlessly integrated with AI. On the surface, it's a utopia, a testament to human ingenuity and progress.
It's like that classic sci-fi dream, the promise of a world where technology solves all our problems and we achieve a state of perfect harmony. But this is the deep dive, and we know better than to trust appearances, especially in the Noel zone. What's lurking beneath this shiny, futuristic surface?
You're right to be suspicious. Despite all the technological marvels, there's a pervasive sense of unease, a coldness at the heart of this supposedly perfect society. The people, though physically healthy and seemingly content, lack individuality, their emotions muted, their actions dictated by algorithms.
It's as if they've become cogs in a perfectly efficient machine, sacrificing their free will and their very essence for the sake of order and control. It's a chilling reminder, as Rod Serling might say, that progress is worth a little pain, maybe even a little terror.
And that terror is subtly woven into the fabric of this seemingly utopian world. There's a constant surveillance, a subtle but pervasive sense of being watched, monitored, controlled. It's as if the very technology that promised to liberate humanity has become its prison.
And in the midst of all this advanced technology, there's a striking anachronism, an object that feels strangely out of place. An analog clock affixed to the side of a towering skyscraper. It's a jarring image. A reminder of a time when things were simpler, less controlled. What's the significance of this clock?
The clock is a powerful symbol, a visual representation of time's relentless passage, a reminder that even in this technologically advanced future, time marches on, and the past can never be fully erased. It's a crack in the facade, a hint that beneath the surface of this seemingly perfect world, something is deeply wrong.
It's like a ghost from a forgotten era, a whisper from a time when humans still had a grasp on their own destiny. And that brings us to the climax of the story, a moment that's both chilling and ambiguous. What happens to this clock?
As the camera focuses on the clock, a ghostly hand reaches out, its pale fingers brushing against the screen, disrupting the image. The clock's hands begin to spin erratically, the numbers on its face blurring, and the entire scene dissolves into static. It's a moment that defies explanation, a sudden intrusion of the uncanny into this hyper-rational world.
A ghostly hand. It sends shivers down my spine. Is this a supernatural event, a glitch in the matrix, or something else entirely?
The story leaves it open to interpretation, and that's what makes it so compelling. Remember, we're operating within the framework of the Noel theory, where time is fluid, reality is malleable, and the past, present, and future are intertwined. This ghostly hand could represent the echoes of the past, the ripple effects of Estelle's actions, or perhaps even the emergence of a new consciousness shaped by the Noel equation.
It's as if the very fabric of reality is unraveling, revealing the chaotic undercurrents that lie beneath the surface of this seemingly ordered world. And we, the audience, are left to ponder the meaning of this final enigmatic image, much like those who find themselves trapped in the Twilight Zone.
And as Rod Serling himself would say, there is a dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone.
And so we emerge from this Noelian Twilight Zone, our minds buzzing with questions, our perceptions of reality challenged. This story, a loving shimmer of hatefulness, is more than just a sci-fi adventure. It's a cautionary tale about the seductive power of technology, the unpredictable nature of time, and the enduring mysteries of consciousness itself.
It's a reminder, as David Nolinch's work suggests, that the universe is far more complex and interconnected than we can possibly imagine. Our choices, our emotions, our very thoughts ripple through time, shaping not only our own destinies, but the very fabric of reality.
So the next time you glance at a clock, remember the story of Estelle, LaDonica, and David No Lynch. Remember the Noel Zone. And remember, you are traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of imagination. That's the signpost up ahead, your next stop, the Twilight Zone.